The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. And Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Today in the liturgy we remember the Trinity, the mystery of the Trinity. We could talk about the theology of the Trinity, but it's complex and it doesn't lend itself to a homiletic reflection which is brief. However, it will be important for us to look at the Trinity as a human experience and how the Trinity is present to us in everyday life, the Trinity being the mystery of three persons in one God, bound together in infinite love. The infinite love creates the unity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. So what does this mean to us in our journey of life? And how do we translate this into a remembrance appropriate for Father's Day? This week was a different week for me. I was on retreat this week, and I finished retreat on Thursday. Friday was my 55th anniversary of ordination. So it's a priest 55 years on Friday. Thank you very much. I spent the whole day by myself. I even sent my dog away for the day. And it was wonderful. It was reflective. It was a time of memory. It was a time of prayer. And during the week, writing journals and remembering the meaning of retreat and the meaning of quiet time, I was prompted to remember the Athenian tragedy written by Sophocles called Oedipus. And in this extraordinary work, the chorus teaches Oedipus how to pray to the Eumenides, the gentle gods of the earth. And they say you must pray to this god with silence, no words. To pray to the Eumenides, your spirit has to be quiet. You have to be still. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of gift. It's a prayer of awareness. You begin to interpret the presence of a Trinity God in your life. That was a prayer that Sophocles has in the Oedipus. And therefore, to begin to interpret the presence of the Trinity in our lives, you have to be quiet. And I think in some ways, it lends itself more to persons in the second half of life. In the first half of life, we're busy about many things. There are challenges, there are engagements, there's a certain frantic pace of life. There are many, many demands made upon us in the first half of life. By the time we get to the second half of life, we are stretched. We have experienced death, sickness, We have tasted failure in our own lives. We have seen the need to ask for forgiveness and to offer forgiveness to others. It's a different cycle. The dominant theme in the second half of life has to do with not achieving things, not conquering, not busy or frantic, but rather it has to do with relationships. Looking back over the relationships of life and cherishing the relationships of the moment. It's a peaceful time. It's meant to be a time when the soul becomes more quiet. I had this image that I read in a book some time ago about this old man. He's sitting on his porch, on his rocking chair, smoking his pipe, looking absolutely peaceful. And some young boys come by and they stop and they look at him and they say, "Old man, what are you doing?" And he pauses for a few moments and he said, "How soon do you want to know?" It's a quiet, it's more relaxed, it's easier. And in that context, we experience the Trinity God. It's the God of relationship. It's the God of gratitude. It's in that context we begin to interpret our fathers. It's more difficult to do this when you're young. When you're young, your father is watching out for you, he's doing this, or your father isn't watching out for you, or whatever it is. Bruce Springsteen, in his biography, speaks about his father. His father was very dysfunctional. He had all sorts of burdens in his life. He was frequently depressed. And Bruce Springsteen got no affirmation at all from his father. He was very distant from his father when he was young. Even when he became famous, his father didn't celebrate him and he didn't affirm him in his life. But not long before his father died, he spent time with his father, began to interpret the burdens, the weaknesses, the struggles, the conflicts of his father. He began to understand them in a different way. And he speaks about conversations he had with his father before he died, and how he began to understand his father and love his father, make allowances for his human failings and his weakness. But it took that long. And then he says, for the first time dealing with his father, he experienced tenderness. Never had that before. Gentleness. Tenderness, a bond that somehow can only emerge in the second half of life. That's Trinity God. That's the experience of God. The touch of gentleness, the invitation to forgive, the invitation to understand, born out of our own awareness of our own weaknesses, our own poverty, looking back over our own failures, our own need to be forgiven, prompts us to somehow begin to understand the limitations and the humanity of our fathers. That's an experience of Trinity God. It has to do with relationships. Look back over your life and remember your father today. If he's deceased, summon back his spirit. Remember the stories of his life. Feel the presence of his life. Remember his limitations. Forgive his limitations. If he is alive, summon him into your presence with a prayer of gratitude for things you may never have noticed in your life, a kindness that you haven't seen. Or visit him with forgiveness so that you yourself will experience the Trinity God. The Trinity God is somehow excluded in bitterness and anger in the lack of forgiveness, we don't experience the Trinity God. Trinity God comes to us only in relationship. It's only when we interpret, we have looked at ourselves, and we see our own failings and our own struggles. There's no Father who is perfect. And I was anticipating this weekend, writing journals on my father and say, he wasn't perfect, and I didn't fully understand him. And I didn't fully appreciate him until he got older. And when he got older, he was no longer in charge. It's a certain surrender. And there's an extraordinary riches that appears in a time of surrender. There's beauty, there's wonder, there's invitation to be kind, to show up, to touch, to feel, to bless. That's the meaning of Father's Day. Now, we'll celebrate this with young fathers here, and we'll all grow together, we'll grow together. But for people in our community in the second half of life, you begin to look at fathers in a new and in-depth, a more gentle way, a more forgiving way. When you look at your own failures and you look at your own human experiences, you begin to read the tapestry of life in somewhat a different way. I want you to remember that as we pray over fathers today. Remember the fathers here present. Remember those who are absent, those who need forgiveness. Remember the fathers who blessed us with great kindness and great generosity and caring. But in most of all, remember the humanity of our fathers. And keeping in mind that each and every one of us, we're born of 1,000 people. We're born from our parents, from our grandparents, from our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, and down through the cycle of creation, we are here today. And the cycle of creation is imperfect. They're all imperfect. And so we too, we are imperfect. So careful when we're inclined to make hard judgments. Hard judgments come from our own emptiness and from our poverty. When we're rich in the gift of the Trinity God, there's a certain extraordinary patience and understanding and a gentleness, and like Springsteen says, a certain tenderness that appears. And it's nicely expressed in The Old Man, this song. It's for your father and for my father, who is not perfect, just perfectly wonderful. And so pray this song with me now. The tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbye. His soul's been blessed, he's laid to rest, and I feel all alone. He was more than just my father, my teacher, my best friend. And he'll still be heard in the tunes we've shared when I play them on my own. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. As a boy, he'd take me walking by mountain, field, and stream, and show me things not known to kings, secrets between him and me, like the colors of a pheasant as she rises in the morn, or how to fish or make a wish beside the fairy tree. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am, though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the owl man. As a boy, he'd take me walking by mountain, field, and stream, and show me things not known to kings. They were secrets between him and me, like the colors of a pheasant as she rises in the morn, or how to fish or make a wish beside the fairy tree. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am, though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the owl man. I thought he'd live forever, he looked so big and strong, but the minutes fly and the years roll by for a father and a son. And suddenly, when it happened, there was so much left unsaid. No second chance for words of thanks for all the things he'd done. And I what I am, though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man.